Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He hath no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he hath power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue the same topic, which is the sincerity regarding the Book of Allah, sincerity regarding the Quran. And last week we discussed about that the Quran is the source of guidance and healing, cure, and all the good in this life we can get it through the Quran. And we mentioned many verses of the Book of Allah related to this reality. And today, inshallah, we will continue the topic, and we will start by discussing what is the message of the Quran. And in order to know the message of the Quran, actually the only message of the Quran and the most important message of the Quran is the oneness of God. Actually, as I am clarifying here in this board, okay, the message of the Quran is the oneness of God. And actually, it is the oneness of God related to his oneness in lordship and his oneness in worship. And actually, in order to convey that message of oneness of God, it is in the Quran through two aspects. The first aspect is the education, and the second aspect is Quran as a practical code of life. Regarding the first aspect, which is the education, the Quran is educating mankind the oneness of God through many scenes. The first scene is the scene of the covenant between Allah and the human nature. The second scene is the scene of the science of the universe that proves the unity of God. The third scene is the scene of the universal message of all the messengers, worship none but Allah. The next is the scene of the reality of the worldly life, and the scene of the day of judgment, and at the end, the scene of paradise and hellfire. Through these scenes, which are mentioned in many verses of the Quran convey its educational message related to the oneness of God, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second aspect of the Quran, after educating mankind about the oneness of God, is to give to the mankind a practical code of life. These are the Quranic rules that regulate human life based on unity of God. And actually, these rules are covering all the aspects of the mankind, the social aspect, economic aspect, political aspect, moral aspect. And inshallah, today we will try to clarify about the educational aspect of the Quran through the scenes of the Quran, so that we can realize the message of the Quran in depth, inshallah. So now, inshallah, we'll start with the first scene, and it is the scene of the covenant between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human nature. And we will know about it from Surah number 7, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 172.
وَإِذَا أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ.
And remember when your Lord brought forth from the children of Adam, from their loins, their seed, or from Adam's loin, his offspring, and made them testify as to themselves, saying, I am not your Lord. They said, yes, we testify, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, verily we have been unaware of this.
Okay. Okay, so it is clear from this verse that believing in God's oneness is the basic issue of the covenant between the human nature and the creator of the human nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a covenant between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human nature. I will clarify to you in details now as Ibn Abbas, who is the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a known scholar, he reported about that verse that the meaning of the verse is that your Lord went over Adam's back with his hand and out came every human being he would be creating until the day of resurrection. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get all, you know, the spirits of all the mankind whom they will be created until the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their pledge and made them bear witness about themselves, saying to them, I am not your Lord. They replied, yes, indeed. So in every cell of the body of the human being, there is that stamp. The Lord is Allah, the Lord is one, the Lord is our God. Okay? So, actually, if someone will ask how this event happens, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, put his hand on the back of Adam and all of this, the answer is that our human perception cannot understand how God acts, since it cannot perceive God's own nature. We cannot perceive God's own nature. But we need to believe that God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has established in the nature of Adam's children the tendency to acknowledge his lordship as the only God in the universe. Okay? So this is, we have the proof of this reality, okay, in the Quran. Actually, regarding those sisters and brothers whom they become Muslims, they are called revert because they return to their human nature. Okay, because inside the human nature of every mankind, there is that stamp that your Lord is Allah, your Lord is one. Okay, so actually this is the basic, okay, of the human nature. And again, I need to clarify to you that this human nature becomes very strong at the time of distress. Okay, suppose now I am a Muslim and I am not practicing Islam most of the time. Okay, but when I, at the time, for example, of the hurricane, okay, I will notice myself that suddenly I start to say, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Okay, in spite of the fact that for 3 years, for example, I was not praying, even not fasting, not related to the Muslim community at all, not related to Islam. Okay, but at the time of severe distress, okay, the human nature will become very strong. Okay, and so suddenly, okay, those kind of Muslims whom they are Muslims by name, may Allah forgive them and us and all the Muslims, they will notice that suddenly they start to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in spite of the fact that they never worship him for a long time. This is the covenant between Allah and their nature. And their nature becomes very alert at the time of distress. They realize that the Lord is one, let me call on him. Okay, so this is the nature, this is the human nature, which you always hope that it is always healthy. Okay, suppose now I am that Muslim whom I was not practicing Islam for 3 years, and then this hurricane came, and suddenly I noticed that I am calling on, oh Allah, on my Lord. I start to realize again that I am a Muslim, I have a Lord, I can call on him. Okay, this means that my nature is still alive and my nature is still correct. Okay, so this means that I still have a hope, okay, to follow the right path. I still have a hope to practice Islam easily because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still clear in my nature. Okay, the problem is that there are some people by time their nature become corrupted. Even in the very difficult times of distress, they never call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the real losers. Because it is very difficult for them to return to the right path. Because their nature is already corrupted. And because of that, every one of us has to try his best to keep his kids and his family, okay, related to Islam, even if they are not practicing 100% or practicing all the time, but still they are connected to Islam. This means that their nature is still alive and healthy, and inshallah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, their nature will become more alert, and inshallah, they can return again to the right path and follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let every one of us realize this reality related to the human nature. Try all the time to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try to keep your family connected. Even if the connection is weak, no problem, keep it. Inshallah, there is a hope that they will follow the right path. This is more better than those whom they forget about the issue completely, okay, and they say, now my kids are not praying for 1 or 2 years, what I can do for them now? They are always with non-Muslims. Okay, the problem is that, you know, after some time, when you will try to get them back to follow the right path, it will be difficult. Sometimes it is impossible for them. Sometimes they actually leave Islam completely because their nature is dead. Okay, so always try to give attention to the this pledge and covenant which is between Allah and your nature, and also related to your family. Try to keep this nature alive and healthy inside them, and do dua to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will guide them to the right place. The second scene of the Quran, which is calling to the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is related to the proofs of the creation in the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks at length at the numerous signs in the universe which indicate the unity of Allah. These signs are sure to stimulate the human heart to conscious recognition of the unity of the Creator and His infinite majesty, and consequently to worship and submit to Him alone. And now, inshallah, we will read from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16. We will read from Surah number 16. We will read from verse 3 to verse 18. Actually, I want to tell you that it is all over the Quran. The signs of the universe as a proof of the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is all over the Quran from the start to the beginning, calling for the human to remember the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we will read from Surah number 16, Surah An-Nahl, the B, okay, from 3 to 18. We read from 3 to 18, because these verses which we will read now will cover most of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق تعالى عما يشركون خلق الإنسان من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين والأنعام خلقها لكم فيها دفء ومنافع ومنها تأكلون ولكم فيها جمال حين تريحون وحين تسرحون وتحمل أثقالكم إلى بلد لم تكونوا بالغيه إلا بشق الأنفس إن ربكم لرؤوف رحيم والخيل والبغال والحمير لتركبوها وزينة ويخلق ما لا تعلمون وعلى الله قصد السبيل ومنها جائر ولو شاء لهداكم أجمعين هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء لكم منه شراب ومنه شجر فيه تسيمون ينبت لكم به الزرع والزيتون والنخيل والأعناب ومن كل الثمرات إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون وسخر لكم الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون وما ذرأ لكم في الأرض مختلفا ألوانه إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يذكرون وهو الذي سخر البحر لتأكلوا منه لحما طريا وتستخرجوا منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وأنهارا وسبلا لعلكم تهتدون وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون أفمن يخلق كمن لا يخلق أفلا تذكرون وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الله لغفور رحيم.
He has created the heavens and the earth with truth. High is He exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him. He has created man from nutfa, mixed drops of male and female sexual discharge. Then behold, this same man becomes an open opponent, and the cattle He has created them for you. In them there is warm clothing and numerous benefits, and of them you eat. And wherein is beauty for you, when you bring them home in the evening, and as you lead them forth to pasture in the morning, and they carry your loads to a land that you could not reach except with great trouble to yourselves. Truly your Lord is full of kindness, most merciful. And He has created horses, mules, and donkeys for you to ride as an adornment. And He creates other things of which you have no knowledge. And upon Allah is the responsibility to explain the straight path, but there are ways that turn aside, such as paganism, Judaism, Christianity, and had he willed, He would have guided you all mankind.
Okay, go ahead.
He it is who sends down water, rain from the sky, from it you drink, and from it grows the vegetation on which you send your cattle to pasture. With it He causes to grow for you the crops, the olives, the date palms, the grapes, and every kind of fruit. Verily, in this is indeed an evident proof and a manifest sign for people who give thought. And He has subjected to you the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, and the stars are subjected by His command. Surely in this are proofs for people who understand. And whatsoever He has created for you on the earth of varying colors and qualities, from vegetation and fruits, botanical life, and from animals, zoological life. Verily, in this is a sign for people who remember. And He it is who has subjected the sea to you, that you eat thereof fresh tender meat, fish, and that you bring forth out of it ornaments to wear. And you see the ships flowing through it, that you may seek thus of His bounty, by transporting the goods from place to place, and that you may be grateful. And He has affixed in the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and roads, that you may guide yourselves, and landmarks, signposts during the day, and by the stars during the night. They, mankind, guide themselves. Is then He who creates as one who creates not? Will you not then remember? And if you would count the favors of Allah, never could you be able to count them. Truly, Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Sadaqallahu alayhi.
So actually, you know, sisters, if you just recite these verses, okay, which are 15 verses, you can realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only supporter. And actually you will realize that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and if you would count the favors of Allah, never could you be able to count them. Okay, this is one of the messages of the Quran. Okay, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind are uncountable. So it is the duty of the mankind to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He created the heavens and created the earth, created the mankind, created the cattle, the horses, the donkeys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the crops, the olives, date palm, grapes, grapes, every kind of fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected to you the night, the day, the sun, the moon, the stars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the vegetations and the fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the sea as a source of the meat and as a source of the ornament to wear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the mountains in order to fix the land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the rivers and the roots and the landmarks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of this. And if you notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this verse, He will say, this is a sign for people who remember. This is a proof for people who understand. This is a sign for people who give thought. Okay, because if you just try to pause and to think for few minutes of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will realize the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because to control all these creations and to make them to work in harmony, this means that there is only one power which is taking care of everything. Otherwise, there will be no harmony in the universe. And this means that all these signs and proofs are Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, signing that the Creator is one, the Creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so when you recite these verses, okay, try all the time, okay, to understand, try to remember. Okay, don't just recite the Quran as you recite the newspapers. Okay, and because of that, the Quran is not effective for our spirit, because we don't read it according to the rules of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of most of these verses, He is saying, surely in these are proofs for people who understand. Okay, so are we understanding these proofs? Are we remembering these proofs? Are we thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these proofs? Okay, and are we all the time trying to remember that, in spite of the fact that we are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of the time for all of these favors, but still truly Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. He is still providing us, and He is still taking care of us, and He is still sustaining us, in spite of the fact that most of the people in reality are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most of the Muslims in reality are not living Islam as a code of life. Okay, so this is the scene of the science of the universe, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it, you know, in many verses of the Quran, actually in the surah number, verse number 6, and again in, I will mention to you, and in surah number 10, and again you will find it in surah, Bismillah Rahman Rahim number 13, and again in 16, and you will find it again, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, about this in surah number 27. Okay, and again in many verses of the Quran, this is the scene of the signs of the universe as a proof of the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever you recite the Quran and you recite a verse related to the signs of the universe, tell to yourself, myself, this is a proof of the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to understand, I have to remember, I have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a reminder for me as a believer, okay, that the Creator is one, the Creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second scene, which is repeated in the Quran to prove the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is related to the messengers and their universal message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about the previous nations and the messengers whom were sent to them, the messengers and their nations. They were mentioned many times in the Quran. These are the stories of the Quran, and they have an aim. The aim is that to clarify all the messengers, expressed the basic fact of the unity of God in their various languages, using the same wording throughout. My people worship God alone, you have no deity other than Him. Now we will read this inshallah from Surah Hud, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah 11. Number 11, yes, and 21. I will give you now, inshallah, the number of the... actually we will read from Surah Al-A'raf instead of Surah Hud, because we want to to read the same sentence, my people worship God alone, you have no deity other than Him. And we will read this sentence from the Quran, from Surah number 7. We will read it inshallah in verse number 59, 65, 73 and 85.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم عظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإلى عاد أخاهم هودا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره أفلا تتقون. وإلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره قد جاء
ما لكم من إله غيره
وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره.
Actually I will read this because I just want to clarify to you the message of every messenger. We'll start with the Prophet Nuh. He said in verse number 59, indeed we send Nuh to his people and he said, my people worship Allah, you have no other God but Him. Okay, this is the message of Prophet Nuh. Worship Allah, you have no other God but Him. Now we will read about the second prophet, who is the second messenger, who is Hud. And to Ad, his people are called Ad. Okay, people, he said, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no other God but Him. The same sentence. Okay? And then we will move to verse number 73. And to Thamud, we send their brother Saleh. He said, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no other God but Him. Okay? Now we will move to verse number 85. And to the people of Madian, we send their brother Shu'aib. He said, oh my people, worship Allah, you have no other God but Him. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Okay? So this is a clarification that all the messengers, okay, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to humanity, they came with one message. Oh my people, worship God alone, you have no other God but Him. Okay, and this is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is clarified since the messengers were sent to human being on the earth. Okay, only one message, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship none but Allah, you have no other God but Him. Okay, actually most of the nations of these messengers, they don't follow them. Okay, accordingly, total destruction was the punishment for these old nations as they deny God's message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying these realities in the Quran so that up to the day of judgment, everyone and every nation which recites the Quran, she will have this warning. Those whom they will not obey the message of the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be destructed. Okay, and these are the proofs from the Quran, the nation of Ad and the nation of Thamud and the nation of Shu'aib and the nation of Nuh. All the nations of the previous messenger, they were all destructed because they deny the message of the unity of God, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last book which is sent to humanity is the Quran. And the Quran is clarifying this reality. Until the day of judgment, all humanity has to follow the Quran. Because the Quran is the message of the unity of God. And when you will recite the Quran, you will realize, either I will follow this message, which is the unity of God, or I will have the same destination which the other nations had, which is the total destruction. Okay, this is the warning of the Quran, and this is the message of the Quran related to the stories of the messengers. Okay, the stories of the messengers in the Quran, okay, these stories are aiming at one goal, okay, unity of God. And this is the meaning that all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were Muslims. Okay, why all the messengers were Muslims? Because all the messengers were calling for unity of Allah. Worship none but Allah. This is La ilaha illallah. Okay, and because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger. Okay, but the message of Islam is the message of all the messengers since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life on the earth. Okay, now inshallah we will move to the fourth scene, which is always repeated many times again and again in the Quran, which is the scene of the reality of the worldly life. Okay, actually, in order to know about the reality of the worldly life, we will read from Surah Al-Hadid, Surah number 57, verse number 20. Actually, this reality is also repeated in many verses of the Quran, but it was detailed in Surah number 57, verse number 20, so that everyone in this life would be realizing its reality and will not be deceived by the enjoyment of the worldly life.
الرحمن الرحيم
57 verse number 57 خلينا نتأكد من الverse
اعلموا انما الحياة
verse number 20
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلموا انما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is only play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likeness of vegetation after rain, thereof the growth is pleasing to the tiller. Afterwards it dries up and you see it turning yellow, then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter there is a severe torment for the disbelievers, evildoers, and there is forgiveness from Allah and His good pleasure for the believers, good doers. And the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment.
Actually, sisters, all praise to Allah. We discussed in details, you know, in previous classes about the reality of the worldly life. But again, okay, let every one of us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran clarified to us the reality of the worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying, and the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. So that on the day of judgment, no one will come and tell to Allah, "Oh Allah, I was not aware that it is a deceiving enjoyment." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified many times in the Quran, okay, that this life is a deceiving enjoyment. So the next question will be for the believer, "Oh Allah, how I am supposed to live this life and what is the reality of the worldly life?" We will have the answer of this question from Surah number 67, verse number 1 and 2. So that every believer will realize, okay, what is this, the reality of this worldly life? Because these basic questions are very important, okay, for every one of us to have a goal in this life, okay? Because when I will realize the reality according to the Quran, okay, life will not be for me only a deceiving enjoyment, okay? Surah number 67, Surah Al-Mulk. Surah Al-Mulk, Surah number 67, and we'll read verse number 1 and 2. And actually, again and again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying all the realities in the Quran, repeating it many times, so that on the day of judgment, no one can say, "Oh Allah, I don't know." No one. Okay, it is many times in the Quran, okay, and as believers, we are supposed to recite the Quran, basically.
Okay?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is able to do all things. Who has created death and life that he may test you which of you is best indeed. And he is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving.
Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us now that he created death and life, that Allah, okay, will test us, okay, according to our deeds. Okay, so now I realize that in this life I am in a test. Okay, so the next question will be, what is the topic of the test? So that I will answer correctly. Okay, I want to know the topic of the test, so that when I know the topic, I can answer according to the correct answer related to that topic. In order to know about the topic of the test of the worldly life, we will read from Surah number 51, Surah Al-Zariyat, verse number 57. This verse, Surah number 51, verse number 57. This verse has to be clear to every one of us, and actually has to be memorized by every Muslim so that he will realize what is the goal of his existence. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating me in this life. Okay? Actually, it is the verse number 56, not 57.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I, Allah, created not the jinn and mankind except that they should worship me alone.
Okay. So actually, sister, this is the goal of our existence. Okay? The goal of our existence is to worship none but Allah. I am living in this worldly life in a test. The topic of the test is worshiping none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of worshiping none but Allah? This means that total submission and obedience to the laws and the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, regarding this goal, people are divided into two categories. In our worldly life, people are two categories only. Okay, those whom they believe in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they live their lives according to this rule. Okay, and those are the ones whom they fulfill the goal of their creation. And those are the ones whom they are called the winners, and those are the people of the paradise. Okay, very simple, actually. The equation of life is very simple. There is a creator, he created us to live his unity. If you live this test, believing that the Lord is one and I worship him alone, this means that you passed the test successfully and you will be having the real eternal life with the people whom they success with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the paradise. Okay, and the other kind of people whom they didn't fulfill the goal of their creation. They didn't worship one God and they didn't follow his rules. Accordingly, they don't deserve to live with him in the paradise and they will live in the other destination. That's it. Okay, so this is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, which will be the reward for those, this is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been the goal of every believer, so that he will fulfill the goal of his and her creation, and he will have the paradise as the final destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran repeated again and again and again about the unity of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship none but Allah. Okay, so that every one of us, okay, will be aware of this reality and inshallah will be one of the believers. Again and again, I want to clarify to you this point, sisters. In order to get the benefit of the Quran, you must realize and you must believe that life is a test. Life is not fun. Okay, because this is the issue and this is the big problem for every human being. Okay, we are born, okay, and we are raised with the impression that life is fun, life is enjoyment, let us enjoy it, let us earn money as we can and wealth so that we can enjoy this only life, worldly life. This is the total wrong conception, which has to be cancelled completely, okay, because it will deviate you from the goal of your creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the worldly life because this life is a test. Okay, this concept has to be clear in the mind of everyone. Why? Because number one, life is a test. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in the Quran that there will be a lot of trials. Okay, so how can I accept the trials if I am under the impression that life is fun? Okay, and this is the problem of most of the human beings whom they forget about the religion and they move to the drugs and to the psychological advice and help and medications. Why? Because they are confused. They are under the impression that life is fun, so I am supposed to enjoy it. But in reality, I am overwhelmed with a lot of trials, so I can't balance. So what can I do? I have to escape it. How to escape? To escape drinking or escape gambling or to escape with the medications, okay, antidepressants, or to escape with the drugs. Okay, what is the cause of all troubles for the humanity is that they don't realize the reality of the worldly life. My sister, your concept is wrong. The concept is from the book of the Creator. He created me and sent for me the book of the realities. And in the book, he clarified to us, you are created for a test. Oh, so I have to pause and tell to myself, Mona, it is not fun. Mona, it is a test. Test means what? Test means stress. Yes, whenever someone will come and tell you today you will have a test, any kind of test, immediately what will be your feeling number one? Stress. Test, short time, I have to answer to succeed or to fail. Oh, this is very difficult. Even for very simple test, what about the test of your existence? The test which will, according to it, either you will have eternal happiness, which you never imagine, or inshallah not, it will be the eternal punishment which none can imagine. None can imagine. Okay, so I have a human being having a mind, a logic human being, I have to tell to myself, pause, stop, think, remember. This is a test. A lot of trials. Okay, so now I need to answer. If it's the test and the trials are the questions of the test, I need to answer these questions correctly. Otherwise, I will fail. And if I fail, I don't know what the Creator will do with me. Now we will know what the Creator will do with us. Now we are still, you know, with the Quran step by step. Up to this step, now I realize that I am in a test and there are a lot of trials, okay, and I need to pass the test. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified to mankind that they have an enemy. Okay? Life is a test full of trials and there is an enemy. Okay? This enemy will try to whisper to you to disobey Allah so that the hellfire will be the final destination. Okay? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned the believers against the shaitan many times in the Quran, and now we will read from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 2, verse 168 and 169. Sister, this is the frame of the worldly life. A test, questions which are full of trials, and an enemy. Okay, then let us know how we can live this reality, inshallah. So let us know about the shaitan and how he is an enemy to the mankind from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 168, 169.
إنه لكم عدو مبين إنما يأمركم بالسوء والفحشاء وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O mankind, eat of what which is lawful and good on the earth, and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan. Verily he is to you an open enemy. He, Shaitan, commands you only what is evil and fasha, sinful. and that you should say against Allah what you know not.
Okay. So now again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying, you know, that we have an enemy. So life again is not fun. There are trials and there is an enemy. Okay? That enemy will always command you only what is evil and sinful. Okay? And also not to obey any of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us not to follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Okay? Whenever he whispers to us. So now it is clear to every one of us now that life is a test full of trials and I have an enemy. Okay? And for that test, I need to have, as I clarified, okay, I need to realize, as we clarified in Surah number 57, verse number 20, that the enjoyment of this life are deceiving enjoyments. Okay? So I am not supposed, okay, to be misguided by these deceiving enjoyments. I am not supposed to say, my life is very nice and I am enjoying life and I don't have any trials, everything is alright for me. Okay, this is wrong. You are deceiving yourself because this is not the reality, because this is not the reality of the worldly life. Okay? The reality of the worldly life is that it is a test. And in this worldly life, okay, I have a goal. My goal is to worship none but Allah. Okay? In order to translate worshipping none but Allah, okay, in an act in our daily life, this means total submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means to do good deeds all the time. To live the worldly life as a farm, okay, for the life to come. Okay, what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if I want to live this life as a farm for the life to come, this means that I need to collect as I can of the good deeds. Okay, so that when I have a lot of good deeds, this means that I fulfill the goal of my existence. How? This means that I worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I was having total submission and obedience to Him. And every deed you do it, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be counted for you, accounted for you as a good deed. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this life, I am living to have good deeds. Okay, this is the goal of my creation, the goal of my existence. When you tell me, Sister Mona, what is the goal? Your goal of today, okay, this, for example, Monday, 30th of September, I will tell you my goal is to collect as many as I can of the good deeds. Okay, so you will tell me, Sister Mona, what about the house you were planning to buy long time ago? I tell you, inshallah, if Allah will plan for me to have it, inshallah, I will have it. But this is not my main goal. My goal from today is to have good deeds. Okay? Through recitation of the Quran, through my prayer, through obeying my husband, through fulfilling my responsibility as a mother, fulfilling my responsibility as a part of a Muslim community. Okay? Through all my responsibilities with the intention that my deeds are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am trying to collect as many as I can of the good deeds because this is the goal of my creation. Regarding the deceiving enjoyments of the worldly life, I am all praise to Allah, living a good life, okay, enjoying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for me, halal, okay, lawful, okay, but this is not the source of my happiness, and this is not the goal of my existence, because all praise to Allah, I am following the book of Allah, the Quran, okay. The next scene which the Quran is discussing in details is the scene of the Day of Judgment. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Day of Judgment in the last chapter of the Quran. Most of the last chapter of the Quran, chapter 30, is about the Day of Judgment. And actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, now we will start to know in short about the Day of Judgment. Then I will give you another verse, one surah complete about the Day of Judgment, so that inshallah we will realize why the Quran, okay, clarified in full details the scene of the Day of Judgment. Now we will read from Surah An-Naba. Surah An-Naba is Surah number 78, and we will read from verse number 70 to 20, because this will clarify to us what is the Day of Judgment. If someone will ask what is the Day of Judgment, inshallah this verse Surah number 78, the tiding, Surah al-Naba. We will read from verse 17 to verse 20, inshallah.
الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily the day of decision is a fixed time, the day when the trumpet will be blown, and you shall come forth in crowds, groups after groups, and the heavens shall be opened, and it will become as gates, and the mountains shall be moved away from their places, and they will be as if they were a mirage.
Okay. So actually, sisters, okay, we have to realize the message of the Quran regarding the Day of Judgment. Okay, the message of the Quran regarding the Day of Judgment is that creation is not without purpose. The Creator who planned all the universe in perfect harmony cannot let people just live and die. Reason cannot accept this. Actually, those who fulfill the goal of their creation believe and practice of the oneness of God, and the evildoers should both end in dust. This cannot be accepted. Okay, both of them will end in dust. The rightly guided and the bad doers cannot have the same fate. There must be a day when everything is judged and evaluated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us what we need to know of the secrets of the universe on that day, so that we can fear the horror of the day and try to prepare for it through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through doing good deeds. Actually, I need to clarify to you that in the last chapter of the Quran, and now inshallah we will read one complete surah of that last chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified about the reality of the Day of Judgment, what will happen on the Day of Judgment, so that every one of us, while we are still in this worldly life, all praise to Allah, having our health, having our time still, okay, and having our mentality, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can recite these verses and we can pause and reflect and tell to ourselves, this is the book of Allah, which I believe that this is the truth. In the book of the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that there is a day, and on that day, this and that and this and that will happen. Okay? In reality, myself, I am ready for that day. In reality, myself, with all of this fear of that day, actually, when you recite the Quran with your heart, especially in the last part or last chapter of the Quran, regarding the Day of Judgment, okay, if you recite the Quran with your heart, that last chapter of the Quran, okay, you must, this is, okay, the logic result, you must tell to yourself, oh Allah, I promise you that I will obey all your commands in that book. I can't face that day while I am not ready. I can't, because this is total loss. Actually, sisters, every one of us in our life, worldly life, deceiving enjoyment, is very upset when I will lose my car in an accident, or when I lose my house in the flood, or when I lose one of my kids, or when I lose. This is not the loss. This is not the real loss, because life is deceiving enjoyment and life is a test, and you will lose everything on the minute when every one of us will die. The minute of my death is the minute of my loss of everything. But when I will die, I will just lose deceiving enjoyment. Okay? But on the Day of Judgment, I will realize the real loss. Because on the day of judgment, those whom they will not enter the paradise, this means that they lost the real eternal life, because they will not be admitted to the paradise. And the paradise for the believers, according to Allah, is the real eternal life. This means that in this worldly life, all of us are in the test. I have some trials, Sister Khalila have different trials, Sister Daniel other trial. Everyone is living the trial. Okay, but on the day of judgment, okay, everyone will realize who will start to have the real eternal happy life, and who will start to have the real punishment, eternal life. This is the start of the real life. So the real loss will be the loss on the day of judgment. Okay, so every one of us has to rearrange the priorities. Okay, not to make the priority for him or for her that today, if I will not do so and so, I will lose $10,000, or I will lose 1 year of my life, or I will lose a good relation with this very important person. No, my sisters, this is not the loss. This is the deceiving enjoyment of the worldly life. Wake up. Wake up, wake up. 3 times I am repeating it in the last day or in the last days of the month of Ramadan for the Muslims whom they are listening to the class, or the Muslims whom they are trying to recite the Quran as quickly as possible to finish recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan, to be under the impression that, oh Allah, I finished the recitation of the Quran. Okay, my dearest Muslims, this is not the goal of the Quran, to just finish it. The goal of the Quran is to live it, is to realize its rules and to live it, to live your life accordingly. If you realize the 30th part of the Quran, which most of the Muslims just read it very quickly, because they are about, month of Ramadan is about to finish, and I want to finish the Quran. So let me read it day and night while I'm cooking at any time. I want to finish. I want to be under the impression, oh Allah, I finished in the month of Ramadan. You are the one finished in reality. Yes, you are finished in reality. Okay? Why? Because it is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, that He made all the verses, most of the verses related to the Day of Judgment in the last chapter of the Quran. Okay? So that, okay, those whom they live with the Quran in reality as the book of the truth, okay, will give every attention to every verse of the Quran, and so they will get the benefit of the last chapter of the Quran. But those whom they just recite the Quran to feel that, oh Allah, I finished the Quran, okay, they are the real losers, because they will never get benefit from that very important chapter of the Quran, the last chapter of the Quran. Okay, so if you want to realize, if in reality, because actually most of us don't like the truth, to tell you the truth, okay, well, this is what I realize when I communicate, you know, with the most, actually most of my communication is with Muslims, okay, but when I communicate with the Muslims and I start to mention the realities, I feel that sometimes they get upset, okay, they don't like to face the realities, okay, no problem. No problem, okay, every one of us has the freedom, okay, to choose, okay, but unfortunately, okay, you are the real loser, okay, because if you lose the reality of the Quran related to the Day of Judgment, I always under the impression that if you will realize the reality of the Day of Judgment, if in reality every Muslim will believe that there is a Day of Judgment, no one can have the choice, no one can choose not to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I can. If you tell me, Mona, today Allah said, walk in your 2 hands and your 2 legs, I tell you, okay, I will walk. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will follow, okay? Why? Because I believe in the Day of Judgment. I believe that that very, 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 very difficult day, I will face it. I want to face it with the belief that, oh Allah, I am from those whom they succeed. I succeed in the exam, in the test of the worldly life. Now, just we will read one verse, okay, from the Quran. Okay, one surah, actually. This is Surah Al-Infitar, Surah number 82, and after we will read this surah, actually, sister, I want every one of you, okay, to check with herself when she will return home, not now. What is her feeling about the Day of Judgment? Is she ready for the Day of Judgment? In reality, she is believing in the Day of Judgment. Okay? Surah number 82, we read whole surah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله.
Actually, we will read this surah and then I will have some comment about it, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, when the heaven is cleft asunder, and when the stars have fallen and scattered, and when the seas are burst forth, and when the graves are turned upside down and bring out their contents, then a person will know what he has sent forward and what he has left behind of good or bad deeds. O man, what has made you careless about your Lord, the Most Generous, who created you, fashioned you perfectly, and gave you due proportion? In whatever form he willed, he put you together. Nay, but you deny at then the day of recompense. But verily, over you are appointed angels in charge of mankind to watch you. Karamun, honorable Katibin, writing down your deeds. They know all that you do. Verily, the Abra, the pious and righteous, will be in the light paradise. And verily, the Fujar, the wicked, disbelievers, polytheists, sinners, and evildoers will be in the blazing fire hell. Therein they will enter and taste its burning flame on the day of recompense. And they, Al-Fajr, will not be absent therefrom. And what will make you know what the day of recompense is? Again, what will make you know what the day of recompense is? It will be the day when no person shall have power to do anything for another, and the decision that day will be wholly with the law.
So actually, sister, this is one of the surahs of the last chapter of the Quran. Okay, most of the surahs are around the same meaning. Okay, and just let us analyze this surah simply, so that every one of us again and again will check with herself. In reality, I am a believer in the Day of Judgment. In reality, I realize what is the Day of Judgment. Okay, then why I am not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the first four verses of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying about the universal changes which will happen on the Day of Judgment. But I want you, sisters, not again and again to recite the Quran very quickly. Try to reflect. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse number one, he is saying, when the heaven is cleft. What is the meaning of this? I cannot realize. What is the meaning? The heaven is cleft. This is number one. Then the stars will fall down and will be scattered. What is the meaning of this? The stars are made of energy and light. Okay, they will be falling down with all this high speed and scattered. Okay, and then the seas are burst forth. Okay, when we have one hurricane, okay, all the earth can be destroyed. What about when all the seas will be burst forth and when the graves are turned upside down? Try to think of yourself, just of yourself and your parents, okay, on that day. That on that day, I am already part of the, I am already dust, okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the graves upside down. Okay, so I will start to be raised again, okay, in order to start the day of judgment. Okay, just try to think it over. Take your time. Tell to yourself, what is this? I can't imagine it. Okay, then, this is the most important, then a person will know, okay, what he has sent forward, okay, and what he has left behind of the good deeds again and again. The human being in the worldly life is equal to deeds. Good deeds or bad deeds, okay? But unfortunately, because most of the people are after the materialistic worldly life, they don't give attention to good deeds. Okay, when you tell to the sisters, okay, concentrate on doing the good deeds and forget about these worldly deceiving enjoyments, okay, when you ask any sister to do anything for the sake of Allah, she will tell you, I'm very busy, mostly, okay? She is very busy with the worldly enjoyment, okay? But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deeds for the sake of Allah, which equal to good deeds, okay, they are not clear yet in our mind in the worldly life. Let us remember that as soon as we will be raised, we will realize, oh Allah, I don't have any good deeds. Why? I want you to observe, okay, how the Quran is clarifying to us what will happen on the day of judgment. The next Allah will say to me, for example, I am that person whom I am now shocked because I am in need of good deeds, but in reality I know I don't have. Allah will tell me, oh man, what has made you careless about your Lord? Most generous. As we clarified before, He is the one providing us with everything, as we clarified in Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, from verse 3 to verse 18. This is the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are living in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is preparing you for one day that you will meet Him. Okay, you have to do good deeds. Why you are not doing good deeds? This question, sisters, everyone has to ask herself while she is reciting this last chapter of the Quran. Allah will tell me, Mona, why you were careless. Then Allah will clarify to me again in details. I am the one who created you. I am the one who fashioned you perfectly. I am the one who gave you due proportion. In whatever form I willed, I put you together. Nay, this nay, which I want to have the voice on it. Nay, you deny the day of judgment. Sisters, this is the reality of the most of the Muslims. Okay? Whoever is not having fear in her heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is discussing the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that this is very clear, that the belief in the day of judgment is not clear in the perception of the Muslims. Because if I believe that He will get me out from the grave, I am just few particles of dust, and then I will be raised and standing like this, okay, looking for good deeds, no good deeds, He will tell me. Why? What I will tell Him? Why? Why I was not doing good deeds? Because I don't believe in the day of judgment. If I believe that I will meet Him day and night in this very short life, who knows when he or she will die? Who has from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, a paper that, oh Mona, you will be living until the age of 75, so go ahead and do whatever you like until the age of 70, and then between 70 and 75, go and do hajj and give charity and fast day and night so that you will be in the paradise. Big joke. This is the life of the Muslims. Big joke. No logic. What is this? No one knows when he will die. No one knows when the book will close. And in reality, there is a day of judgment. On that day, He will tell me, come, where are your good deeds? You will not a believer in the day of judgment. Yes, I agree. Those whom they are not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't believe in the day of judgment. Because when I believe in the day of judgment, that's it. This is the importance of the belief of the day of judgment. Okay? Life is not a game. We are coming to cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, we will come to the masjid. After the month of Ramadan, forget it. What is this? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is why, because we don't believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't recite the Quran with our heart and with our mind, because we are totally lost in the worldly life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is waiting for us on the Day of Judgment. You know why, sisters? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us by being Muslims. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us by giving us this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped us in this life by giving us the book of the answers of the test of the worldly life. But unfortunately, we don't like it. Unfortunately, we don't agree with it. Unfortunately, I cannot follow it. Okay, no problem. Don't follow. But be ready. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, I just want you to again revise every verse of this surah, because subhanallah, it is full of wisdom. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to me, for example, nay, you don't believe in the Day of Judgment, then Allah will tell me, but verily, over you are appointed angels in charge of mankind to watch you. If I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appointing two angels with me, moving with me in every second, why Allah is appointing these two angels? Okay? To take photos for me all the time? No? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes? Because now Muslims are very logic. So let us talk with them logically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting these two angels with you day and night to record every deed, every saying, every look. Why? So that this record, a paper of recording, will be thrown? No. So that this will be against you, witness on the Day of Judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me, Mona, did you recite the Quran in Ramadan? I tell him, yes, oh Allah. He will tell me, how did you recite it? With your heart? Yes, oh Allah. With your mind? Yes, oh Allah. The angel will say, never. Never. You were cooking. You were talking in the telephone. You never concentrate in the Quran. You are a liar. Okay? So if I believe that there are two angels with me, okay, recording everything, okay, that I am doing in this life, okay, this will not make me to believe that there is a Day of Judgment. I must believe in the Day of Judgment, because everything is recorded. So there must be a day when these records will be, okay, Allah will get these records, then Allah will revise them with me, because this is a test. Okay, and Allah will tell me, according to your recording, okay, you never believe on the Day of Judgment. I tell him, oh Allah, why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me, because Mona, you never obey me. If you believe that, you will meet me and I will get all your failing records. Your records are all zero. Why? Because if you believe that you will meet me and I will get all your records in front of all the mankind, okay, you will be aware and you will concentrate and you will realize and you will do the good deeds. But you never do good deeds, you never obey, you never believe, okay, you never live the righteous life. Why? In spite of the fact you know that there are two angels recording, because you don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Okay, this is the Day of Judgment, which has to be the turning point in the life of the believer. When I believe in the Day of Judgment from the depth of my heart, this is the end for me with the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I promise you, whatever I am supposed to do, I will do it. Basically for my sake, for the Day of Judgment. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that there are these two angels whom they are appointed. Okay? They are writing down your deeds. They know all that you do. Okay, so let us realize this reality. Okay, everything is recorded. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately, whenever the Day of Judgment is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention the reward of the righteous. Okay, they will be in the delight paradise. The most important in the paradise is that you will live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you like, while you are thinking of it, now suppose I want, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this Rolls Royce car, for example. And I just have the idea in my mind, I will find it in front of me. In the paradise, you don't ask Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you whatever in your mind. This is the paradise, because this is the righteous people. the pious people, they deserve the paradise. They have mind, they have heart, they are true believers, they follow the rule, they are obedient. This is the kind of hearts and minds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose to live with Him. Not the other kind of the corruption which is going on earth. They don't deserve to live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And verily, the wicked, the sinners, the evildoers will be in the blazing fire. Again and again, I will clarify to you inshallah now about the reality of the paradise and blazing fire. Therein, in the blazing fire, they will enter and taste its burning flame on the day of recompense, and they will not be absent therefrom. That's it, eternal hellfire. For what? For some deceiving enjoyment of this worldly life. Okay, then again, this is the warning and the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every Muslim. What will make you know what is the day of recompense is? Wake up, you don't know it. This is the warning. And again, you see, and again, Allah is saying again, what will make you know what the day of recompense is? Okay, sister, when you notice Allah is repeating the same sentence again, this means that this is great warning. You don't know it. It is very difficult. You cannot imagine it. Okay, and then Allah is saying, it will be the day when no person shall have power to do anything for another. Okay, and the decision will be holy for Allah. So now I am still in the worldly life. Now I still have this book. This book is the book of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is the book of the correct answers of the test of the worldly life. As a human being having a mind, okay, what I am supposed to do after I recite this verse? I am supposed to follow the rules of the Quran. Number one, I am supposed to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sent for us the book, clarifying all the realities so that on the day of judgment, okay, everything will be clear for me. I don't have any shock. Whatever will happen on the day of judgment, I was already mentioned about it, and it is clear for me, and oh Allah, I am coming ready for the day of judgment. All praise to Allah. How you are ready? I am ready through the book of guidance. Okay, the book of the light, the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, I have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, I have to have the full belief in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah, whom you will have the decision, and He has a book. And there are the rules of the Lord. I am supposed to say, oh Allah, you said that husbands have rule over their wives. Oh Allah, I don't like it. No. They have to be equal. Yes, no problem. Oh Allah, let us discuss together. No problem. Don't follow. Take your time. Okay, take your time away. But one day, you will be in front of Him. And on that day, okay, let us evaluate those whom can they stand in front of Allah, saying to Allah, oh Allah, I was not believing in the Quran. No problem. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any problem. It is mainly your own problem. Okay, so actually, sisters, this is the belief in the day of judgment. Okay, every one of us whom she is still not stimulated much to follow the rules of the Quran, let her revise in detail the last chapter of the Quran. Let her realize in reality she is believing in the day of judgment or not. If she is not believing in the day of judgment, okay, let her revise her belief through the Quran, okay, and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Insha'Allah, when she will realize that there is a day of judgment, immediately she will follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone, in spite of revising the rules, the last chapter of the Quran and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified about the day of judgment, and still she is not convinced to follow the rules of the Quran, okay, may Allah forgive her. She is totally destroyed. She is not existing, to tell you the truth. And again, her death is better, because the more life on earth, with this mentality, she will do bad deeds. Okay, she's collecting bad deeds. She's making her way to the hellfire more easy with this kind of mentality. Except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, give her another choice, another chance. Okay, now the last scene of the Quran is the scene of the paradise and the hellfire. Actually, again, I want to tell you, I become so stressed when I discuss the belief in the Day of Judgment, because I notice that most of the Muslims, in reality, they don't believe in the Day of Judgment. Because me, myself, this is my personal experience, when I live with the Quran for some time, and it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I realized that in reality there will be a Day of Judgment immediately. In this second, I promised Allah, oh Allah, I did a lot of sins, I was not following the rule. From this second, I will follow the rules day and night. I am living my life as a farm for the hereafter. I want to be ready for the Day of Judgment. That's it. Okay? There is no other way to live this worldly life if you are a believer in the Day of Judgment. Okay? So again and again, sister, the belief of the Day of Judgment is a turning point in the life of every Muslim to become close to Allah and only to follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I will want to discuss with you the last scene of the Quran, which is the scene of the paradise and the hellfire. Actually, the scene of the paradise and the hellfire is also mentioned in many verses of the Quran, and again it is always related to the Day of Judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention the Day of Judgment, the scene of the Day of Judgment, always there is a mention of the paradise and the hellfire. Okay, and actually the scene of the paradise in the Quran gives an account of the righteous. It describes their high rank, the place they will enjoy, the delight showing in their faces, the pure drink they will have while they recline on their soft couches. It is the delightful image of happiness. This is the happiness. If you want the true permanent happiness, look for the paradise. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the paradise. Actually, in many surahs of the Quran, these scenes which we are describing today, they are the scenes which are repeated again and again in the Quran for the same goal, which is the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read about the paradise from Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin is surah number 83. We will read from verse 22-28. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نضرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. On thrones looking at all things, you will recognize in their faces the brightness. 22?
Yes, 22.
Verily, Abra, the pious and righteous will be in delight paradise. On thrones looking at all things, you will recognize in their faces the brightness of delight. They will be given to drink of pure sealed wine. The last thereof, that wine will be the smell of musk. And for this, let all those strive who want to strive hasten earnestly to the obedience of Allah. It, that wine, will be mixed with tasnim, a spring whereof drink those nearest to Allah.
Actually, these are some of the scenes of the paradise which is mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying the real life of happiness which the righteous people will have in the paradise. And actually, the scene of the paradise is repeated many times in the Quran in detail, just to give you the impression that it is the real happiness in the paradise. In contrast is the scene of the hellfire, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again in many verses of the Quran. And just today we will read from surah number 78, Surah An-Naba. We read from verse 21 to verse 30, so that we can compare the destination of the righteous and the evildoers in the paradise or in the hellfire. We read from verse surah number 78, from 21 to 30.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا ولا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Truly, hell is a place of ambush, a dwelling place for the Targhun, those who transgress the boundary limits set by Allah, like polytheists, disbelievers, and the oneness of Allah, hypocrites, sinners, criminals. They will abide therein for ages. Nothing cool shall they taste therein, nor any drink, except boiling water and dirty wound discharges, an exact recompense according to their evil crimes. For verily, they used not to look for a reckoning. But they belied our ayat, proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, and that which our Prophet ﷺ brought completely. And all things we have recorded in a book. So taste you the results of your evil actions. No increase shall we give you except in torment.
So actually, sisters, again, I want you to revise these verses with me, because these verses are the summary of what we discussed today. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that the hell, okay, will be the final destination, okay, for those whom they transgress the boundary limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There they will have eternal life, which actually it will be, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, very difficult one, okay, regarding that they will just drink boiling water. I want you again, sisters, to try to think it over. Okay, at the time of the hurricane, when there was no ice, okay, the people were very upset because they cannot drink cold water. Okay, but in the hellfire, okay, and for eternal life, the people will only drink boiling water. You know why boiling water? Because it will destroy their stomach. Okay, try to think that the boiling water, which you cannot touch it with your hand, that the people in the hell, may Allah doesn't make any of us in, or any of the Muslims there, okay, they will be the one to drink it. Okay, because they cannot find any other thing to drink. They will have to drink the boiling water. Try to think the boiling water in the mouth, then in the oesophagus, then in the stomach, and then settling in the stomach, boiling water. Boiling water. For what boiling water? I want everyone to tell me what deceiving enjoyment in this life deserves someone to prepare herself for an eternal life drinking only the boiling water. The just logic thinking. Okay, this is how we have to discuss the Quran logically. What enjoyment you are living in, okay, which makes you to prepare that people, okay, not us. And also the dirty wound discharges. When you see a wound and you see the discharge of the wound, you get very upset. You say, I don't want to say it. This is the food and the drink. The food and the drink is the dirty discharge and more other worse than this. You see? This is very small part of the punishment of the day of judgment, of the punishment of the paradise. Okay? But I want you again to revise with me verse number 26. An exact recompense. Okay? This is the exact recompense. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified many times in the Quran, again and again and again, there is a hellfire, there is boiling water, there is wound discharge, there is the greatest pain never anyone can think it over. I am warning you, take care, try to avoid it, follow my path, prepare yourself for the paradise. I will take care of you in this life and the hereafter, but the people don't like. So, this is the exact recompense. Okay, this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the book of the Quran, okay, to give glad tidings to the believer, and to give the warning to everyone, and to make us to fear the punishment. When I read these verses, I say, no, I can't tolerate boiling water for a second. not for an eternal life. What can make me away from the boiling water? Obedience of Allah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, I promise. Okay? But again, you see, this is the summary. Verse number 27. For verily they used not to look for a reckoning, not believing in the day of judgment. Again, Allah is clarifying the realities. People are not obeying, okay, because they don't believe on the day of judgment, number one. Number two, the verses and the proofs which we clarified in the universe, they belied it. They don't care, okay? But again, as we clarify in the previous surah, okay, Allah is clarifying all things we have recorded in a book. If I have a mind, there are two angels recording for me. So this means that there is a book and there is a day of judgment, and I will be questioned about everything, okay? And, okay, fazuqu, so taste it. Now we have to taste the result of your evil actions. Okay? So sisters, this is the reality of the Quran. This is how we have to recite the Quran and read the Quran and live with the Quran. And the Quran is the most important value in my life, because this is what will save me. Okay, when I will communicate with the people in the worldly life, whom mostly the materialistic worldly enjoyment are their goal, okay, I will be confused. But when I will return home and I will start to revise the Quran, I tell to myself, Mona, wake up. Completely forget about these people. Don't communicate with them again, because they are lost. Okay, this is how I have to handle the Quran. If they believe in the Quran and they want to follow, okay, all praise to Allah, they are the most beloved to me. If they are denying, okay, or they don't believe in the day of judgment, because their actions is a proof that they don't believe in the day of resurrection, because they don't obey the commands of Allah, they take it easy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only with Allah it is easy. But with the worldly enjoyment, we count every dollar. Okay? Salah, I give you $20 last week. Okay? Give me my $20. Okay? I have to be after the dollar. But what about the Quran? Did you recite any Quran today? Tomorrow. Tomorrow's tomorrow. Oh, every day Quran. Oh, no, no. No. If you get to any Muslim, give you $5,000, okay?
Wow.
And never to recite the Quran in your life. He will tell you, all praise to Allah. I was not reciting the Quran without any dollars. Now, the most merciful sent for me a big amount of money. I deserve it, because I never recite the Quran. Never recite it with your heart, with your mind, not as a duty in the month of Ramadan, so that I cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I was very good in the month of Ramadan, true believer, I recite all the Quran. Oh Allah, I want you to do for me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, now. Yes, I was a true believer in the month of Ramadan. This is our reality. You know, sister, this is how you have to feel very sorry.
Yes, you know why
you have to feel very sorry? Because if we are living our life through that concept, we are losing the only source of happiness and mercy and light and guidance, stability, ensure everything, which is the Quran. You are not living the Quran. You are not getting the mercy of the Quran, the cure, the heal of the Quran. In reality, sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me a chance to communicate out with the people whom they are living the worldly life only, believing only in the worldly life, then I return home and I start to recite the Quran. I tell to myself, all praise to Allah. Allah knows that this is the reality of my feeling. All praise to Allah. Those people, they don't know anything about the tranquility or the happiness or the stability or the balance or the mercy or the guidance, the light, anything. They are not living. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, they are less than animals. Because no spirit. The spirit is not living. What is the meaning of a human being who has a body and the spirit, and all his and her enjoyment is only through her body? What I eat, what I drink, what I wear, what I buy, what I give, what I take. What about your spirit? You are not an animal. The animal is having a body need like you. But you are a human being. You have a spirit. Where is the source of the happiness for your spirit? Not existing. So, this is, you know, the loser. This is the real loss of this life. If you will not live with the Quran in your life as the book of all these blessings which I mentioned now, sisters, unfortunately, we are losing the source of the real happiness and all the good of our life. And this is the cause of the confusion of the Muslims. Okay? This is the only reason, one reason. Very simple reason. The Quran is not living in their lives. And because of that, we call the classes living the Quran in our daily life. Islamic happiness. To have happiness in its, as a Muslim, you must live the Quran in your daily life. Because through living the Quran in your daily life, you are living the rules of the truth. And these rules are the same rules which are inside your nature, human nature, in every cell of your body. So when you will follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will start to stabilize as a human being. You will be a balanced. You will say the truth. You will not fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be after this materialistic enjoyment at all. If someone come and tell me, Mona, can I take your new car and I give you my old car? I will ask her, your old car is working well? She will tell me, yes, I tell her, take my car. I need an instrument, okay, to help me to move from one place to another. That's it. But I have my goal. The car is not my goal. I need a house, yes, to have comfortable time and to relax, but I am not in need of a very big mansion. I am not in need of this and that. I need what will help me, okay, and give me the circumstances to fulfill the goal of my existence, to give me the happiness inside my heart to live the Quran in our daily life. Inshallah, next week we will continue the second concept of the Quran, which is Quran as a practical code of life, and let us do the dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, and from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, and from the torment of the grave, and from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves, and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and your favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.